Blog Talk Radio.
Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Everybody, it's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I'll be your host, Ron Golden, here for Patriot Families. That's Patriot Families with a YS.com. Interesting times we live in. Very interesting times. You know, there's been, of course, a lot of pundits out there armchair quarterbacking the unfoldment of our latest world events. And I guess it's difficult for me to really take any of it with any credibility. It's hard to know where to come down in all of this. I think the only thing that I can find solace in, the only thing that I can support, is the right of the people in the Ukraine and everywhere else on the planet to be free of intrusion by government, whether it be their own or governments of other nations like Russia. Of course, this was predicted, as we'll say, by Sarah Palin and Mitt Romney. And one has to ask, is that because they are just that much smarter, or is it simply because they knew the playbook? I don't know. Can't give you the answer to that. But what I can tell you is that the situation in the Ukraine is terrible. From the standpoint of the average Joe living in the Ukraine, it's got to be nerve-wracking, to say the least, providing that they're not directly in the line of fire. But they are on the brink of, you know, some people are talking about a civil war. I don't see it so much as a civil war as it is just an all-out war. When are we as a people, and I'm not just talking about Americans, but people in general around the globe, when are we going to recognize that the largest threat to a stable existence is government? I just keep hearkening back to that speech by Patrick Henry. You know the one. As for me, give me liberty or give me death. And the one thing that I think we all agree on, honest to goodness, if we look around, Republican, Democrat, progressive, liberal, conservative, it does not matter. The one thing I believe that we can all agree on is the one thing that government does very well, and that is wage war, build armies, build weapons of war, and they always have. Name a government that has existed in the past that was not predicated on war and the ability to wage war. I understand at some level there is the concept or idea of defense, but we certainly don't seem to utilize our military as a defense mechanism, do we? And if you look at the way that we've utilized our military, at least since World War II, we have fought wars and conflicts, police actions, on a purely political footing, not for a military victory, not for the defense of our freedom and our territory here at home, but instead to expand our political influence, our sphere of influence, what some would call spreading democracy globally, to spread democracy around the globe. And we see quite clearly how well that works. If we look at the area that's involved in the Ukraine and look at the surrounding nations in that area, you've got Georgia, which has now been brought back into the fold, so to speak, of the former Soviet Federation, which coincidentally, if we remember back to 2010, right around the time of the 2010 Winter Olympics in Beijing, or Summer Olympics, whatever they were, that's when we had the invasion of Georgia. And even then, go back and read some of the news stories, go back and listen to what eyewitnesses there in Georgia were saying, even back in 2010. Of course, Russia was played up as the aggressor, and perhaps they were. How do we know? How do we know anymore in this day and age who or what to believe? You cannot even believe your own local authorities, much less the media, much less the federal government. So how do we decide? For me, the decision's pretty simple. I'm against any government using force against any people to subjugate them to their will. And I think we're going to see that concern grow and that ideology take hold more and more simply because of information availability. And I think because people understand, they can look at history, they know where these things lead, and I think people are just tired of living as subjects. I put together a clip that I want to play for you, and it's kind of long, but I want you to listen to it and pay attention. And this was put out back in October. And the reason I wanted to play this clip tonight is because it is very poignant in the information that's coming out right now. But it also ties together some key information from the last several years. Things like Libya, Afghanistan, Iraq, Israel, the United States, the Muslim Brotherhood, and a whole bunch of other things. And we've all been talking about this coalition that has been put together by what are called the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and a few others. We know about the European Union. And allegedly, a lot of the turmoil and strife in the Ukraine currently was because of this European Union and the Ukraine electing to become part of a member of the European Union. And that should not fall by the wayside as we consider what's going on over there. And I saw someone put in, I think that was Mike from the hot seat, put in that, of course, there are rumors and information that Soros had a hand, George Soros had a hand in fomenting this counter-revolution or insurgency or whatever you want to call it, demonstrations, political unrest within Ukraine. And I don't doubt that that is true to some extent, but let's understand, I have long been an advocate of the idea that Mr. Soros is nothing but a bag man, much in the same line as a Henry Kissinger. We cannot lose sight of the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is something that we've been talking about on this show since its inception. It's the monetary system. That is the mechanism in this country and in every other major country that is used to control the masses of the population. And I don't believe that it's any mistake. I don't believe that it's any accident. The chain of events that have occurred, especially when we look at them from a monetary standpoint. We now have this coalition that I was just speaking of the BRICS nations, they are well positioned to topple the U.S. economy by diminishing the U.S. dollar. Now, a lot of people will say, well, you know, China only has $1.7 trillion. And, I mean, my gosh, we're at $18.3 trillion in debt. So 1.7 is just a mere pittance. Well, it is if it were only $1.7 trillion, and that's all it was, that would be a mere pittance. But there is leverage involved in that $1.7 trillion. And you also have to consider the amount of trade of all the member countries. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to tell you is that we are sitting at a point in time in history where this could be a major shift in the pecking order of the world as we know it. It could be a major, major turnaround in the status that we have enjoyed as Americans, and it could have a very detrimental impact on your daily life. That's not just hyperbole. It's dead serious. So without further ado, I'm going to play this clip. And the title of the clip, it's a YouTube video. You certainly can go to YouTube and pull it up. But the title of the clip is World War III by the spring of 2014, to be followed by a dollar collapse. And I just found it very informative. It's about 13 minutes long, so hang with me if you guys can, and let's listen in on the clip here.
And we are caught up in this web. But don't worry. People will tell you over and over again, oh, we've survived worse. No, we haven't.
The economic collapse that I wrote about in my 07 book hasn't happened yet. In that book, I did write about the housing bubble and why I believed it was going to burst, or why I believed there was a bubble.
You were right on the leading edge of that.
It's going to become much worse. They gave it their best shot, Lauren. Remember they had Larry, the brilliant Summers, as the head of the economic team. Remember the stimulus programs. Remember under Bush TARP. They've given it everything they can, and they're coming up with goose eggs. So we're only going to see it get much worse.
After 42 years of tyrannical rule, Colonel Gaddafi is dead. And secret friends. Tonight, how we colluded with him to kidnap Gaddafi's opponents around the world. Among the international businessmen and the jet-setting playboys is this man, Moussa Koussa. He was one of Colonel Gaddafi's inner circle, a ruthless spy chief trusted with the security of the country and stamping out dissent. When he fled Libya at the start of the uprising, he chose to defect to Britain.
Moussa Koussa is responsible for the death of 270 innocent civilians, as well as thousands of his own people as part of the Gaddafi regime.
Moussa Koussa is the guardian of many of Libya's secrets. So why, with little explanation, did Britain let him go?
Central bank floated the idea of dumping the greenback as the world's reserve currency, replacing it with an international currency.
Thousands of people gathered to hear Barack Obama deliver key foreign policy speech on his current European tour. His vision for America's place in a new world order.
After Tripoli fell, his old offices were abandoned and torched, but some documents survived. They exposed Libya's secret relationship with the UK in a series of letters between Moussa Koussa and MI6.
These documents are absolutely extraordinary. They show the the real detail of the secret relationship between Britain and America and Gaddafi's police state. And what really is amazing is the tone of them, the friendliness. They're cozy and smug at some stages.
And tonight, we can show that Britain's friend Moussa Koussa was attached to the bloodiest massacre of Gaddafi's regime. When we searched former intelligence offices bombed out by NATO, we managed to salvage some of the regime's surveillance tapes.
We heard screams and beatings, and from 11 to 1:30 we heard continuous shooting. We didn't know what happened exactly and how many were killed. We didn't guess that they killed just about everyone.
More than 1,200 inmates were slaughtered that day. It took nearly 3 hours. Abdulati only survived because he was hidden by a sympathetic guard. Now Panorama can reveal that one of the regime's inner circle present as the massacre unfolded was Moussa Koussa, at the time chief of spies. The man the UK made deals with over rendition and who gave assurances there'd be no torture had actually tortured people himself. He crossed the border into Tunisia and then on to a country he trusted, with whom he'd done grubby business before, the UK. He arrived by private jet at Farnborough Air Base and was then whisked off to a safe house. He was protected by special branch officers and agreed to be interviewed briefly by Lockerbie investigators. His assets in the West were unfrozen. Now he could tap into his significant wealth.
According to some, it's about protecting civilians.
We must not tolerate this regime using military force against its own people.
But some are convinced intervention in Libya is all about currency, specifically Gaddafi's plan to introduce the gold dinar, a single African currency made from gold, a true sharing of the wealth.
It's one of these things that you have to plan almost in secret. Because as soon as you say you're going to change over from the dollar to the something else, you're going to be targeted. There were two conferences on this, one in 96 and another one in the year 2000, called the World Mataba Conference, organized by Gaddafi. And everybody was interested. I think most countries in Africa were keen.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold. The UK has double that, but 10 times the population. It's happened before. In 2000, Saddam Hussein announced Iraqi oil would be traded in euros, not dollars. Sanctions and an invasion followed. Some say because the Americans were desperate to prevent OPEC from transferring oil trading in all its member countries to the euro.
Terrorism through proxies. Either Syrians living in Syria, or foreigner fighters coming from abroad. So it's a new style of war. This is first. So you have to adapt with this new style. It takes time. It's not easy.
Okay.
And to say this is easy, as easy as a normal or, let's say, traditional or regular war, no. It's much more difficult. Second, the support that they've been had, that's been offered to those terrorists in every aspect, armaments, money, political, is unprecedented. So you have to expect that it's going to be tough war and difficult war. You don't say it, you don't expect a small country like Syria to defeat all those countries that have been fighting us through proxies just in days or weeks.
Changing laws in favor of the banks, and he's not doing anything to stop the banks. He's helping the banks continue to do what they were doing under Bush. So in fact, he's just a continuation of Bush on the subject of markets and finance, which is the most important part of his policy right now.
People who voted for Obama wanted real change and are getting platitudes, are getting a lot of nice talk, but nothing in the way of concrete change is taking place. In this town, business as usual.
Returning vets could be a risk to our nation.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
And one of the ways it will drive the change is through global governance.
I think the new world order is emerging.
This is a hoax and a scam which is designed to transfer wealth and power from the private sector to the government sector and from the government of the United States to a world government.
And those people who have been yelling, oh, the UN's going to take over global
conspiracy
government.
Conspiracy theories.
They've been crazy, but now they're right.
And who got the money? Hundreds and hundreds of banks, any bank or that has access to the U.S. Federal Reserve System.
Tell us who they are.
No.
You know, financial terrorism. They have the ability to tweak the knob.
I am proposing that the Federal Reserve be granted new authority.
The ultimate goal of the carbon tax and the cap and trade is to destroy production.
This energy tax is the largest tax increase in American history.
We're actually creating a global warming police. So number one, they can come in, the federal government can come in, inspect your house, and send you the bill. We're setting up a global warming Gestapo.
One of the things that if you talk to our generals, they are desperate for is a civilian counterpart to our military forces.
President Obama today proposed something new, something called prolonged detention. Pre-crime is where people are arrested and incarcerated to prevent crimes that they have not yet committed.
No, a very sharp guy, very smooth, knows exactly what he's doing. For that reason, far more dangerous than Bush.
Make a prediction, because a lot of people are saying that QE3 is coming next month. Do you predict we're going to see that?
You know, I don't know if they're going to call it QE3 or some other kind of scheme, but they have to do something to keep pumping money into the system. Look, Lauren, we found out because of the reporting that went on, we just found out 2 years ago, that the Federal Reserve was pumping, what, $1.2 trillion into the banks around the world that we didn't know about? They're going to do something, and that's why gold prices are going up.
Well, we know that that Washington is talking about more austerity measures, the same kind of austerity measures that are racking through Europe as well. What does that mean? It means more cutbacks. So at a time when the economy is already slowing down, they created, as you pointed out, zero jobs. So what it shows us is that at a time when things are slowing down, it's going to become much worse. They gave it their best shot, Lauren. Remember they had Larry, the brilliant Summers, as the head of the economic team? Remember the stimulus programs? Remember under Bush TARP? They've given it everything they can, and they're coming up with goose eggs. So we're only going to see it get much worse.
The Fed, they're in this thing all the way around. And yet, you want to talk about powerful people, you've got a majority of congressmen that are willing to say, we need to open up the books of the Fed. You can't even get this thing brought to the floor now. Why is that?
They're not going to give up. They're going to move all these shenanigans over to the IMF. They're going to have a world organization. So the powerful elite then will have a world currency. That's what they're being planning for right now. So we as a people really have to wake up. My effort is exposing the Fed, opening up the books. The American people want it, and we have both Republicans and Democrats demanding it. But you made the right point. How are we going to get the leadership to do what the American people are demanding?
How much time do we have, Ron?
Which means the next shoe is the crisis in the dollar, the value of the dollar, not just the financial system.
Okay.
We will see high inflation rates soon.
Okay. Congressman Ron Paul, thank you very much, sir.
All right, everybody, we're back. That's the end of our little clip there. Sorry it was so long, but it's really just a montage of different interviews. Is it a mistake, the timing of what's going on right now? Could it be a mistake? Could it come at a worse time? The U.S., you know, we keep hearing about the U.S. is weak right now. We are weak. Not that our military couldn't go out and really have a concerted, concentrated effort. We could, you know, bring together the military, pull out of the Middle East, and honestly, Iraq and Afghanistan, they're pretty close proximity to the Ukraine. But that really puts a kink in things. And I think if there's any action by the U.S., I suspect that the way it'll play out is that if there's any kind of action at all, any kind of sanctions, anything other than strong words and maybe a vodka summit, you're going to see China come out. They've already come out in support of this Russia. You may well see in the next week or so the wholesale announcement that they're no longer accepting dollars, period. And I know a lot of people still think that might be a trivial thing, but I can assure you it won't be, and it's not. I tend to believe that it's designed this way, that it was planned this way. It makes too much sense. The dots connect quite well, but it's possible that it could be, you know, like a bad kid acting up, you know, going off the reservation a little bit. Either way, I think our hands are tied. I don't think there's a whole hell of a lot we can do other than jump up and down and scream bloody murder, but it's not going to do much for us. It's certainly not going to do anything for the people in the Ukraine. And let's not forget that we had the anti-nuclear proliferation treaty, and there was an agreement signed with the Ukraine, what, back in 1994? By the U.S., Canada, the U.K., for them giving up their nuclear weapons and disbanding most of their military, that we, the U.S., Canada, the U.K., and NATO, would protect them. We would protect them from the evil communist scourge that was Russia. And what of the other nations in Europe? You got to remember, Europe, you know, Germany, Poland, France, Greece, they're all in very close proximity to where this is going down. And, gee, isn't that kind of the same agreement we had with them after, what was it, World War II? Wasn't it? And the Middle East, you know, we've seen a flip-flop now in Libya and in Egypt. Iraq has been largely demolished. Afghanistan, Iran is somewhat surrounded by our military. And, of course, they're probably just hours away from getting a nuclear weapon now. You know, it's for what, the last 10 years, they've been 6 months away from having a nuclear weapon. And then we've got Obama coming out, as I said before, talking about a red line with Syria. I don't believe for a moment that there was ever a serious consideration of going into Syria, ever. I think it was hyperbole. It was to get the population stirred up. As they say, the American public is war weary. Why wouldn't we be? We've been occupying the Middle East now since 1991. So I don't believe there was ever an intent to go into Syria, especially knowing what we know about how long the unrest has been fomented in Syria against the Assad regime, who was an ally of the United States and kept the nut jobs in line, if you will. I know that goes against popular opinion, But if you look up the facts of who's been funding the uprising in Syria for decades, it's got Israel and the United States fingerprints all over it, as well as the UK. So I don't think there was ever any intention of going into Syria. And then Obama comes out with his red line statement. And that statement alone really caught my attention, because I understand the red line agreement and what it was and what it signified, or at least what it signified to me. And clearly, if you look at the Middle East and the European Union, there has been a complete rearranging of the balance of power since the end of World War II. The predominant power at the end of World War II was the United States of America. And I don't but half wonder if Obama's statement about a red line was a signal, a code word, if you will, saying, okay, we're ready, everything's in place, go ahead. Israel, by the way, didn't Obama just have a talk with Netanyahu? Or is that supposed to happen tomorrow? They've got to be worried that their butt is hanging out in the wind in the middle of all of this. Or perhaps they're just strategizing on how best to play off the various contingencies that may come down the line. I don't know. How do you know who to trust? I know I don't trust anybody in the media. I know I don't trust my government, and I damn sure don't trust the government of any other country. I don't believe any of them have our best interest at heart or the people in their country. I don't believe they have their best interest at heart either. There is just too much evidence, ample evidence, over years, decades, centuries, that governments seldom act in the best interest of the individuals in their country. And they damn sure have demonstrated over the centuries that an individual human being, that person's life means nothing. Thousands of lives, small price to pay. It's all about the agenda. It always is about the damned agenda. And it's always rationalized, justified. Oh, it's for the children. You know, that's the last ditch effort. I don't know. More than happy to have you guys call in. Give me your take on things. 646-378-0321. That's 646-378-0321. And, you know, if anybody's paying attention to the markets today, the crude oil is on the rise. Gold and silver are on the rise. The market was down pretty substantially at one point today. And, you know, if we continue in what's going on around the world and the unrest, it's going to get even worse. And I think you're going to see oil prices skyrocket. And that's why I watch the markets pretty closely, not because I have a lot of money invested and I'm concerned over where my earnings are going to go, but because I think it's a forecast. It tells a better story of what's going on in the world than a lot of the news outlets. And yeah, you know, it's just where do we go from here? Tomorrow is going to be pretty pivotal. I'm not sure what the time difference is over there, but my understanding is that by 5 o'clock our time, 5 a.m., we may have an absolute war. And the Ukrainians, you know, the Ukrainian military people are saying, you know, we're not just going to lay down. We're not going to be conquered again by this dictator Putin. And Putin's saying, you know, you're going to give up or we're just going to bring in the military and we're going to roll right over you. So it could get really, really ugly really, really quickly. And it's just a damn shame because there's going to be a lot of people that end up dead on both sides. Many of them are going to be innocent folks. Even those guys in the military that, you know, think they're just doing their job. Let's be honest about it. A lot of the folks in the military service, at least on the Russian side, probably see it as, you know, something they have to do. Maybe it's a sense of national pride, taking back to Ukraine. A lot of the Ukraine is ethnic Russians. A lot of the Ukraine is not ethnic Russians. Some of those people, honestly, and rightfully, I would think, see this as an attack on their country, their nation, and they'll die fighting to keep those guys out. Some of those people have probably spent their entire lives under Soviet rule, and now they've enjoyed some modicum of freedom for the last 20-plus years. I don't know. It's just not a good situation, guys. And I think we're really at a pivotal moment in history that could really turn into something horribly, horribly ugly. Just really hope that things work out peacefully or as peacefully as they can. I already know that, you know, there's been plenty of folks that have lost their lives and, you know, more to follow, I'm sure. It's just terrible. It's terrible to think about. And at some level, you know, we've got to look around and say, thank God it's not us, but that really doesn't give me any hope. Yeah, I know, Mike. There's a, you know, I don't claim to be up to speed on the whole area there in the Ukraine. I know very little about it. I've been forced to brush up on some of it here just recently because it has been a big deal. My history lessons have focused on other things. And, you know, it's just not possible for all of us to know everything, that's for sure. And I see we've got Miss Yola back with us. I'm glad she's feeling better and got her computer up and working. We got Bill Strong with us and FT, Miss Linda, Lonnie, Mike from the hot seat, and Nun649. Glad to have you in the room with us. Just wanted to let everybody know, if you're not a member, you can certainly join us at patriotfamilies.com. That's patriotfamilies with a YS.com. And see what we're all about. We've got an upcoming event in July at Delaney Creek Park in Indiana, Salem, Indiana, July 13th through the 20th. I got to consult my calendar. I don't have it in front of me. And I've kind of gotten stranded, and I wanted to make mention of that. Yeah, it is the 13th through the 20th. And I, unfortunately, am not going to be able to attend this year. We had a schedule conflict come up at my job, so I can't get the time off. So you guys will have to carry on without me. I know that'll be a big disappointment, but I'm sure you guys will make it happen. And, again, if anybody wants to call in, that number is 646-378-0321. Really didn't have a lot else to add tonight. You know, if I knew a little bit more about our Ukrainian brethren over there, we might have some more insight. Just don't know what else is around the bend for us. I do think that this could play into a serious monetary issue. I mean, we're in trouble, let's face it. We've got serious, serious problems. The whole EU, how it's still afloat with the European currency, the euro, is beyond me. It's like that skit, you know, with the two guys talking about how do broke European economies lend money to other broke European economies when they don't have the money to pay them back. Where do they get the money from to lend to them? Yeah, quit my job. I hear you. You know, I'd love to do that. I really would. My wife, on the other hand, wouldn't like that so much. But it is what it is. Nothing I can do about it. Well, I can, but I have to have my priorities as well. Besides, the government is counting on me to continue at my job so that I can repay them the $200,000 they believe that I owe them. It's great. It's just really great being a wage slave, I got to tell you. It's a wonderful feeling. But in the end, it's only money. And they don't control the thing that matters. And that's my heart, my soul, my spirit. That belongs to the good Lord above. Nobody else. So there's some things in this world they can't take away. That is one of them. I'm going to play you a little song right now. Just feel the need to play that song. And so here we go without further ado.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later gotta cut you down, sooner or later gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sleep. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later gotta cut you down, sooner or later gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man, but as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later gotta cut you down, sooner or later gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Indeed, a little Johnny Cash. I always liked Mr. Cash. Didn't always agree with him, but it's harder and harder to find things to dislike about the man. It's a shame that he's still not there. I know that Robert hasn't called in. I was just talking in the chat room, wondering if anybody's seen Robert lately. And normally he's here at the show. Haven't seen him in a while. I hope everything's okay with Robert. Been trying to pester him to get a hold of Mr. Frank. I really miss Frank. He was quite an addition to the Patriot families. And really miss his wisdom and insight on our Patriot families. And look forward to the day when he gets back on the air with us. Really, really would be an asset to have Mr. Frank back on. And I really hadn't prepared much else for the show tonight. So we may even cut loose a little early. Just not a lot else to talk about. I've been pretty busy at work. Haven't had a lot of time to go through all the news. And, of course, this situation in the Ukraine has really occupied a lot of the news of late. One other thing that's been bugging me as of late has always bothered me, and I think I saw it more than most did for many years, and that's really the way that our police state is developing and has developed here in the U.S. over the years. It's really kind of sad. We've allowed it, no question about it. We have allowed this to continue. People don't raise a fuss. Kind of along the lines of the poem that I read the other night on Miss Linda's show, The Hangman's Tree. We have allowed it. We have allowed the incursions to go on. We have voiced very little concern or restraint against our elected. And we see more and more evidence daily of the abuse of power and presumed authority by elected officials and the police power of the state over individuals within the states. We just recently had an incident here, kind of local, with some folks that I know, where a young lady was stopped at a checkpoint, very small town. They had a church night, a movie night with their youth group, and she was taking some of the youth home, dropping them off, and this little town had had a meeting with several local police departments and county police departments, and they set up roadblocks at every egress in and out of town. And as she was trying to get back to her home, she was stopped at one of these checkpoints, and the officer walked up and told her he smelled marijuana. She laughed. He didn't find it was funny. He told her he could bring the dog up. And she said, go ahead. I bring the dog. I've not done anything wrong. Bring your dog up here. Then he confessed, well, we don't have a dog, but we do have a female officer. I'm going to get a second opinion. And, of course, the female officer walked up and said she, too, agreed that she smelled marijuana. And so they proceeded to ask the young lady to get out of her van. They did a search of the van. Of course, they didn't find anything. The female officer took this young lady to the front of her cruiser and lit up in all the headlights and spotlights from the various squad cars, did a pat down of her and practically a strip search, unfastened her bra, and had her standing there humiliated in front of all of these police officers, most of which, mind you, were not from this little town. And after they were all done and satisfied that they'd exhausted all possibility that she might be hiding a marijuana joint, they walked off, and one of the local officers who had known the young lady for 15 years walked up to her and apologized. Well, as you can well imagine, the apology didn't really sit well with her, as he's known her personally for 15 years and stood by and said absolutely not a damned thing while these other officers violated her and humiliated her on a public street. This is a town of less than 2,000 people. So our police state is really out of control. And the lady consented to the search, but not at the level at which it was conducted. And it was really totally without probable cause and completely and totally uncalled for. But this is what we've come to expect. We have largely come to accept in the new United States of America. And I say new because it is a new United States of America. It changed long before you and I were born. There was a reconstruction. They reconstructed the United States in a new image way back in 1867. And the idea of freedom is what you've been living under ever since. Not freedom itself, but the idea of it. And my, how the concept, idea of freedom has changed quite a lot over the decades. What used to have been considered an affront, a trespass, tyranny, oppression, is now commonplace and seen as for the greater good, and at least we're safe. And you know, folks,
yeah, right.
It's just a false sense of security. No different than the paper dollars we tote around or the electronic digits that we hold in our wallets and our bank accounts. They're not safe. They just gave you a demonstration of that with the Bitcoin and Mt. Gox problem. And no, this is not John Waterman. This is Ron Golden, the Constitution Hour, Patriot Families. But chock full, you are welcome to hang out with us. We're happy to have you in the chat. And I've got Miss Linda Sills from right from the left coast on the line with us from the great state of California. How are you, Miss Sills?
Fine. It's it is the great blue state of California, which gets worse every minute, but there's not much, you know, as one person I can do. You know, I fight, but and I do my best. I did have a conversation about this thing you were talking about with the reconstruction with my friend in Vista. I don't want to do names right now because I think he's going to be on my show on Wednesday for a short time. So anyway, because I think that he wasn't expecting me to say what I said, because I said we've been voting for these, you know, people in high offices for over 200 years. And I said, nothing's changing except that it keeps progressing off the cliff into socialism. And I said, apparently that's what some people want. And I said, I don't. And I think he was pretty taken aback with that. Maybe he's okay with it. I mean, I don't know. That's kind of where I'm getting. That was what I was kind of feeling. So I didn't have time to delve in.
Right. And you know, the thing is, and I got that sense, okay, and I've known a lot of people in my life, and I've had a lot of dealings with various personalities. If there's one thing that I really love to do, it's people watch. And I really like to people watch in situations where they're not aware I'm watching, and I can observe their behavior, and you know, you get to know certain characteristics pretty easily at a glance, more times than not. But having talked to Ken, I have an opinion, and Ken falls into, for me, a category of individual that I see the same mindset or thought process in a lot of police officers. And it's almost as if they're institutionalized, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. And so they have for so long rationalized and justified what they should know in their heart and mind as absolutely unacceptable behavior. They have rationalized it for so long that it's become normalized, and they just don't see it.
Okay.
They just don't see it, and anyone that points it out, you know, is a problem. And they'll look at you with a suspicious eye, and you know, then you become a cop hater or an America hater and a basher and all these other things.
Or someone that's, you know, advocating treason, which I don't.
Precisely.
So, I mean, the other thing that I believe that certain people were from the last time we were all together on my show, that some people were sort of accused of doing or being was too narrowly focused and that's not open to different ideas. And I kind of took issue with that. I mean, we all have a little of that in us, but especially not this group. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, and I can understand, and I don't want this to turn into, you know, bash Ken Day, especially when he's not here to defend himself. But it's just a sense that I pick up from talking to people, and I understand the approach. And, you know, I've known a lot of military folks. I've known a lot of cops. My stepfather was a cop for 28 years. And I've known a lot of different police officers. And you can pick out the scant few that don't follow the same ideology. They stand out like a sore thumb. They really do. They're easy to pick out. Now, some of them you might have to pry it out of them.
Right.
You know?
Well, that particular, that one you sent me not too long ago where these guys in Texas, I guess in a small town, and there was a stop and this guy knew his rights and he
wound
that
up pisses them off.
but you know, the words out of that, these people's mouths was, to me, astonishing. And, you know, if people are going to tolerate it and accept it, you know, then the next generation is going to be blindly, you know, subservient.
It's just like that situation that I was explaining, the young lady, you know, and an officer that she had known for 15 years. He knows her. This is a small town. He said nothing, but he knew enough to go and apologize to her because he knew what he just witnessed was absolutely unacceptable and wrong. And he was so embarrassed that he went and apologized, but he didn't lift a damn finger. He should have stood up and said, Hey, I know this lady. What the hell are you doing? No, we're not. This is not going to happen. Not on my watch. Not happening. This is wrong. Let her go.
Yeah, so,
but he didn't do that.
Right. The one you just described on the clip that the previous a few days ago makes it quite clear that we must be even more vigilant. And when there is problems and when there are bad seeds, you must root them out. You just root them up and root them out and never let them have public service again. That's me. You know what I'm saying? Like Bob Kilner, these cops, all this stuff. No, this is not acceptable. And now... I saw another one today. I don't know if you guys saw this or I had a chance to send it to anybody. It was a fairly long one, maybe 10 minutes, and I don't know whether you sent it or I just picked it up. And then the guy in Connecticut, I mean, he literally told these guys, and they were, I think there was state senators involved. Yeah, there were state senators about this, this registration.
I know the one.
He says, I will not comply. He gave them as much hell as he could, and people were applauding, you know, because it's ridiculous. And these clowns stand there pretending or portending to know the Constitution, and then just, it's like they're thumbing their nose at it like the Fabian socialists that they are. Oh, I get so, I'm sorry, but I get very upset with these people.
Oh, well, I understand. And, you know, go back, let's wind the clock back a couple of years. You remember the photos that I was posting from the Republican National Convention down in Florida with the cops all in their riot gear lined up, you know, hey, it's free, free and open elections, folks. I mean, come on. it's beyond reality. And you know, there's a group, of course, the one website that I frequent all the time, the gun trading website. You know, there's a lot of cops on there, a lot of current and former cops. And I'll tell you, they get really pissy when guys start posting videos of cops beating the hell out of somebody or shooting somebody where it's unwarranted, totally out of line, and the cops should go to jail.
Isn't that just too bad?
And they get all pissed off. And one guy today, I mean, he just went over the top. I changed my avatar. I found a damn cartoon of a zombie policeman, and that's now my new avatar. I mean, you know, screw these guys.
Funny. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's just too damn bad that they don't like that, Ron, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I think a lot of us are at that point where we're done. We're just done. We have no patience left.
They come out and say, oh, you try and say all cops are bad. No, that's not the case. But every time one of these incidents is pointed out, they're always on the defensive. Well, you don't know the whole situation. And, you know, that video with the audio recording doesn't show every angle. And, you know, that guy could have had a mini 14 tucked under his toenail that you couldn't see. And you don't know what was going on off camera. And it's like, dude, can you not just admit, wow, that cop was out of line and should go to jail or be prosecuted for being such a jerk-off? No, but they can't do that. They're so accustomed to justifying what's not justifiable.
Bad behavior,
It's not
illegal,
acceptable.
Illicit behavior.
It's just not acceptable.
I know.
And I've had far too many dealings where the police and the prosecutor – and the judge and everybody in the frickin' courtroom that has any authority whatsoever, they know beyond a shadow of any sliver of doubt that they are 100% wrong. And the best you're going to get from them at that point is a plea bargain offer to amend the charge, but the fine will stay the same. And it's absolutely asinine, and it should not be acceptable. And until the American people stand up and say no more and stop consenting to this crap, it's going to continue. And you know, do you know how many people have bank accounts in the United States? Can you imagine what would happen if beginning tomorrow we did it on an odd even rotation? People began taking money out of their accounts until there was, you know, $10 left in their account. Leave the account open, leave them $10 in there, and you know, start sending letters to the mortgage companies and the loan companies. Tell them, you know what, you guys have really pissed me off, so I'm just not going to send you any more of your money back. I'm not going to give you your script back anymore. We're just, you know, I'm going on strike. I'm not going to play your game anymore.
I know. Well, it would be sweet, but good luck on getting that to happen. I mean, the coordinated effort would take monumental planning. And it's a shame we can't do that. I just think that little by little I see people waking up, especially if you're in the Northeast and you're in Connecticut, and Mikey's lived there, so he knows. If they're standing up to this, then I think we have a glimmer of hope, because people, they are fed up in many instances. And the more that this happens and the more light that is shown on these people, it is the best disinfectant, and it's got to be dealt with. Like I said, they've got to be rooted out. And when you find that evil, I don't care who it is, what their rank is, you know, they have to go. They cannot be in public service. You know,
and we have to stop rationalizing it. We can't do that.
Oh,
and you talk about Mikey from the hot seat left, and Mikey B.
Left is never right, brother.
Well, I understand that.
How you doing, brother Ron? Linda?
I'm doing well, Mr. Mikey.
All righty. I want to shift back to the Ukraine situation and your clip. See, Gaddafi was whacked because he didn't play ball with the Illuminati.
The bankers?
And at least on the surface, Vladimir Putin is not in the in society, which is why I not only have heard, but I believe that this revolution has been constructed because, you see, sheeple don't only exist in America, they exist worldwide.
Oh, why, absolutely.
Yes, and the Ukrainian people did not think about the blowback of total disruption that the Russians would come in with their tanks. Now, of course, the world is perceiving Putin as a really bad guy. But if you look at it from his perspective, what choice does he have? He cannot afford to have this Ukrainian spring into his territory. He really has no choice because, unlike America, he really doesn't have an isolated territory. You know, who's between us? Canada and Mexico. Woo. You know, so Russia has a little more tough. And he's been pushed in the corner. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why has he been pushed in this corner? Well, let's look at the facts. He's paying heterosexual married couples money to have children. Well, Bill Gates and the Agenda 21 homiciders, well, they don't like that. Also, he's not a fan of homosexuality. Well, the homosexual loving community within the Illuminati, they don't like that. So you see, Vladdy Boy is not playing ball with the corporate boys. You see, he's anti-establishment. So now the target is on his back. And that's why I wrote in the chat room that when you go against the Illuminati and you're a player, you wind up dead. Jack Kennedy, Gaddafi, Saddam Hussein, you know, you do the math. Everyone that's anti-establishment, they wind up dead. And yes, Ron, you're right. We were never going to go into Syria, well, live anyway, because you see, Obama was content in running guns like he did in Mexico, fast and furious, and he was very content with having Ambassador Stevens recruit Al-Qaeda. You know them? The ones that supposedly perpetrated 9/11. Well, once that got a little hot and the lid was going to be blown off, the usurper-in-chief had Stevens killed. And, of course, I was the first one to say that. And now, of course, that has become, shall we say, mainstream in alternative media, you know, a year and a half later. So
common knowledge.
Uh-huh. So that's why we have what we have in Russia. This is an absolutely manufactured revolution. Because, once again, let's say the Ukrainians were not happy with their El Presidente, but it was their El Presidente. They were somewhat of a sovereign nation. Well, that's gone now. Because now Russia has invaded. And yes, perhaps by 5 a.m. your time, 4 a.m. my time, it may be a full-blown conquering once again, because the Ukrainian people are just as much sheeple as here in America. You remember Occupy Wall Street? Oh, that started out so, you know, virtuous. Well, Soros invaded that too. Just like
well,
he's
now
invading.
Let me ask you, because, you know, I've been tossing this around for a couple of days now. So do you believe that it was fomented to get the reaction out of Putin?
Yes.
Or okay. So
yes,
then
because,
what?
Because Vladdy is not playing ball with the boys.
Okay. But we know that with the situation with the BRICS is what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that factors in? Because I really don't see a damn thing the U.S. can do right now without starting World War III.
Yeah, well, it's not the U.S., though. I mean, who's really the front man? Isn't it the United Nations? I mean, they're going to be the ones really calling the shots. You know, so-called calling the shots.
Yeah, but I think we've seen demonstrated time and again that the United Nations is a paper tiger, if you will. Now,
well, it
granted,
is.
The U.S. It is, has been the military arm of the United Nations. You've
well,
got
yes,
the U.K.
But you see, yes, but you see, though, Ron, the United Nations is going to give the go-ahead. See, that's how Washington justifies killing everyone. Well, that's the point. So when the United Nations gives the go-ahead, America is going to, you know, Obama and D.C. are going to say, you see, look, the United Nations said we must do this. Oh, we must do this for the people.
Yeah,
that's how
that
works.
I don't know. See, I don't know that. I'm just not convinced that the U.S. has the backbone, if you will, or the cojones, to step into that conflict. There's a real different sense.
We don't have to.
There's a real different sense. Well, we would have to. I mean, plain and simple, we would have to have boots on the ground kind of thing if you're going to step in and intervene in the Ukraine. Now, you could certainly do, you know.
Well, who said we are?
Monetary sanctions.
Well, who said we are going to step in? You know, Obama's going to blow his horn like he did in Syria, and nothing's going to happen. And we're just going to look like bigger jerks. We'll lose even more credibility. And you're right. Who's going to want to dance to our dollar? We're not going in, Ron. We're just going to make a lot of noise, and then we're going to look like jerks.
Well,
because it's all theater. See, it's all theater. It's all distraction. Because we know, as you have discussed, we cannot keep playing this Keynesian economy anymore. I mean, we just can't do it.
That's true.
So you need an excuse to blow it up. And Putin's going to get blamed.
Because
he's the bad guy right now.
That Putin is ex-KGB. He plays by different rules than others. He's also a very diehard dictator. This man probably would just as soon kill you as look at you.
Yeah.
So,
Linda, I agree, and that's why he's been forced in this corner, and that's why he has to invade. He has no choice.
See, I'm not sure. Go ahead, Linda.
Okay, one more little quick thing. This was from Buck Sexton. He said you can put sanctions and even seize their assets, but these guys are pretty damn wealthy. It won't make a damn bit of difference.
Well,
they'll do what they want anyway.
See, this is the thing, and I personally believe that, and I hear what you're saying, Mike, it certainly, by all appearances, looks like, you know, Vlad is playing his own game. I don't believe that to be the case for a lot of reasons. I believe that it's scripted. I believe we've been sold this whole thing, and it's taken many years to cultivate it. Think about, you know, just from the 2010 invasion of Georgia until today, you know, we see we're inundated with these images and depictions of Vladimir Putin as the most interesting man in the world, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, he's shown as, you know, riding horses and sword fighting and judo and all these damn things. Meanwhile, you know, and we see, you know, the depiction of Barry that looks like frickin' Urkel, right? I mean, I've said it 100 times. I've said it once.
What are you going to do?
Pay attention to what it is they're trying to sell you. Mm-hmm. What are you being sold? And what we've been sold since 2010 is that, Russia is no longer communist. B, Vladimir Putin is a strong, masculine leader who supports heterosexual marriage and doesn't like homosexuals. And Barry Satoru, well, he's a former homosexual, and he looks like Urkel, and he's a bumbling idiot when it comes to foreign policy. Meanwhile, we've got this huge monetary mess on our hands that nobody seems to want to talk about. You know, look at how good the stock market's doing. The markets are up. The stock market hit a record. You know, gold is an antique. Nobody believes in that shit. Never mind that China's buying, you know, 5,000 tons, and that Russia has been buying tons and tons, and that India has been buying tons and tons. I mean, don't pay attention to any of that. Brazil is in the midst of turmoil. You've got Turkey. Anybody know where Turkey is at in logistically in relation to, you know, the Ukraine and Russia and Georgia and Iran and Iraq? They are smack dab in the middle of this mess.
Well, Turkey's the gateway to Asia from Europe.
Absolutely. So, I mean, there is a huge, huge issue, and it's all right in that same region. And it all has to do with the monetary system.
Well, you just validated my point. Well, you just validated my argument. Now, I might not have every single detail right, but you just validated my point that this is a manufactured revolution.
Well, I believe it is, but I believe Vlad is playing along. I don't think that he's acting out of turn.
I don't know about that.
I think that's, for me, where the real split is at. Is it live or is it Memorex? You know, is Vlad playing his part in the coalition, or is it really a little infighting, a little nepotism within the family over who gets to be the big HNIC, so to speak?
This is why I said, on the surface, he looks like he's anti-establishment. I said, on the surface.
And for clarification, when I say HNIC, I mean head narcissist in charge, okay? Just so that we just so that we get clarity on that.
Well, I'd rather change that to HSIC, head Satanist in charge.
Just tomato. Just call him a schmatzer. That's to be done with it.
Yiddish friend, that's fine, but either way, I just think that this whole deal is manufactured, and if Putin is one of the boys in disguise, fine, he has no choice but to invade the Ukraine, because he cannot have this spill over into Moscow. He can't do it.
That the Crimean naval port is of the utmost strategic importance. If I'm Putin, I mean, just looking at that one thing, there's no way you allow that port to go anywhere.
Well, right.
Because you are hosed if you do. So, I mean, if you're just playing a game of Stratego, as it were, for that alone, you cannot allow that to fall into enemy hands, so to speak. Well, but I'm of the mind that I think this whole thing has been orchestrated, and if it's not, it's following a brilliant script either way.
let me ask you this. Let's say, you know, Mexico was having a massive upheaval to this degree, and the Gulf of Mexico was threatened. And our key ports were threatened. Don't you think we would have the Marines at our southern borders?
Well, we don't, and it is.
Well,
I mean, for God's sake.
Well,
I mean, let's be honest about it.
But it's not like happening at the Ukraine, though, at our borders.
Oh, well, no, of course not.
But that's my question. If it was, don't you think we would have our Marines there on our southern borders?
Oh, I think so, absolutely.
All right, then. Well, that's what Putin's doing, so there you go.
Oh, yeah. No, logistically, I understand it completely. I'm just trying to ferret out in my mind whether it's legit or, you know, whether it's just contrived, and I tend to believe that it's contrived.
It's bad for us.
Yeah, there's nothing good coming out of this. That's for damn sure. There is nothing good that's going to come out of this.
No, but you know who's going to get richer? Soros and company, because this is what they did. When Russia fell the first time, Soros made a fortune gutting out Eastern Europe. Well, he's doing it again. That's why this is manufactured. But Ukraine didn't think in the long term that they could become Russians again.
Well, and you look at the agreement they signed with the U.S. back in '94. They had to be out of their ever-loving minds. To trust the United States government.
If you ask the average Ukraine, your government signed in 1994? What? I mean, there you go. The sheeple don't know that. They're as uninformed as our people are.
Oh, I agree. I agree. But I'll tell you one thing. They're tough as frickin' nails, them folks over there.
Yeah.
I got news for you. They're not like the Americans. They don't live the life of luxury and snap cards and, you know, they're by God tough as shoe leather.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they beat the ever living hell out of the police state over there.
Yes, they did. But
I'm going to let you go and wrap it up, and I'm going to go back to the chat room. Thanks, guys.
Yep. But
God
now
bless.
They're gonna have. But now they're gonna have a foreign tyrant again.
Oh yeah, that's a totally different thing. And you know, civil war, which I keep hearing talked about in the Ukraine, I guess in some sense it could develop into that. But I think in a larger sense, it's going to be, you know, the ethnic Russian population siding with the homeland, the motherland, if you will.
Good thing.
And the rest of the folks, you know, and the Ukrainian military, last I heard, is saying that, nah, we're not giving up. We're going to fight to the last man.
And they will.
So, oh, I know. I don't have any doubt of that at all. And I know some folks that are from that region. And, just plain and simple, somebody put up a video clip the other day that was kind of gave me a chuckle, and it was from a Seinfeld episode where Newton and Kramer were on a train, and they were playing a game of Risk.
Yes.
And Kramer says, "Oh, what have you got left? The Ukraine? The Ukraine is nothing. The Ukraine's a joke." And there's a Ukrainian guy standing there listening to him.
Oh, boy.
Doesn't understand what they're talking about. And he turns around and he says, "You think Ukraine is a joke? I am from Ukraine." And he smashes the game board, scares the hell out of both of them. And It's funny as all get out. And the guy is clearly, you know, probably 65 years old and just scares the becriminy out of both of them.
You better believe it.
Over there are tough. You know, they're not like the soft underbelly here in America that
indeed
that waves their flag and says, "Oh, they'll pry my gun out of my cold dead hands." And, "Yes, officer, here you go. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disobey the law."
Let me ask you this. You only have a couple minutes left. In our Civil War, if the North had lost, and the United States was in total disarray, like the Ukraine is, don't you think Britain would try to take it over again? Of course they would.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what
Russia's
doing. They're taking their opportunity.
Yep.
That's perfectly normal.
Echo says they're fighting over women, and that could be true because some of those Russian women are very beautiful.
I've been with a few of them. Let me tell you, indeed. Legs, they got their own zip code. Oh, yeah.
Easy there, big guy. Brother,
I'm telling it like it is. You know me.
I'm with you.
I tell it like it is. And, brother, they got legs long and lean, brother. Let me tell you.
Guys, it's time for me to depart. Mikey, any parting thoughts?
Yes. Tomorrow night, the hot seat, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. We're going to rock and roll for 2 hours, baby.
Outstanding. I'm going to play a little promo. God bless everybody for tuning in. Mike, thanks for calling in. Miss Linda,
Anytime. Thanks
for calling in.
Anytime.
And we'll look for you guys tomorrow night. And here's a little promo for the rest of our line.
Blog Talk Radio and Patriot Family is where you need to be if you want to be informed and inspired 5 days a week. On Monday at 7:30 p.m., you can listen to the Constitution Hour. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Family Chat. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Right from the Left Coast. On Thursday at 6 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Education. And on Friday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Exposed but Never Forgotten. All times are Eastern Standard Time. Hope to see you there.